Well, I'm here by myself this morning and thought about asking Marcos to preach today, but Tim said it was my turn and I just wasn't sure when the baby was going to come, so I didn't want to put him in a hard place. But it does make it a little bit difficult to preach this morning, knowing the week ahead and everything that, Lord willing, will happen this week. So you may have to bear with me just a little bit with this message. I felt a little bit unprepared. But I'd like to talk about peace this morning. I'd like to talk about peace. Peace, where is it? Can we find it? Story is told of a retired couple, and this was a number of years ago, late 70s, early 80s, and they were alarmed by the nuclear threat of nuclear war, and they were afraid of what might happen, so they, when they retired, they saved up their money, and they did a good bit of traveling and studying, trying to figure out the safest place to be. Supposedly a true story. And they ended up on the Falkland Islands in Christmas of 1981, and they sent their pastor a postcard that they'd finally found their place. Little did they know that by April of 82, Great Britain and Argentina had a disagreement over the very place that they picked. And their paradise was turned into a war zone. Peace. Can you go find peace? There's a couple that searched all over the world for peace. Thought they found the safest place, only to find out it wasn't there. It was somewhere else. Well, who of us hasn't made some choices like that in search of peace? Thought we finally found it. Thought we could find it in pursuing one interest or another, some particular pleasure. That if we could finally get what we wanted, we would be happy. We would find peace. Who wants peace here this morning? I think we're all looking for it. We'd like to find some peace. So what are you looking for? Anybody want to define what they're looking for? How would you define peace? Problem with a lot of people today, they don't know what's going to give them peace. They don't know what they're looking for. What are you looking for? Kirvin. Surrender to the will of God. Whatever God brings into your life. So no matter what it is, it's okay. Anybody else? One of the definitions I looked at said a state of tranquility or quiet. That's one definition of peace. But you can go up on a mountain all by yourself and not find peace. So when you get off there by yourself, sometimes that still small voice starts talking. Freedom from disturbance. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts. Harmony in personal relationships. All different definitions for peace. So is peace an experience? Is peace an emotion? We know that peace is a fruit. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, every week, peace is in the news, or lack of peace. Every week, there's something, if you look. Every day, there's something. People that are looking for peace, or people that have their peace disrupted. Things are going on. And of course, we know what happened a week ago. One more shooting, more deaths. How many different families and relatives did it affect? There is no peace. In Jeremiah's day, they cried, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. And in our day today, we live in comfortable houses. But domestic violence is at an all-time high. We have some of the most modern cities in the world, and yet our streets really aren't safe. Probably a little safer here in Altoona than a lot of cities. Our ability to communicate with technology is unsurpassed, and yet there's never been more misunderstandings about what people are trying to say to each other. Where can we go for peace? Is peace just a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that we keep pursuing and it keeps moving? And every time we think we about get there, the rainbow disappears, or it's one out ahead. Elusive. Well, there only is one place of peace, and it's a person. It's a person that I want to promote this morning. The only lasting source of peace is God Himself. So we're going to look at that as we go through the message. Well, what is the opposite of peace? If you don't have peace, what do you have in its place? Maybe you can describe this a little better to me than you could peace. Anybody? Marcus?
Discontentment.
Discontentment. Steve? The opposite of quietness and assurance. Turmoil. Thought of the word guilt. Guilt, opposite of peace. Absence of God in your life. Well, where can we go for peace? First part of the message. I like to talk about two kinds of peace that I find in the Bible. I like to talk, first of all, letter A, spiritual peace is peace with God. Spiritual peace is peace with God. And this is the foundation. This is the bottom line. This is where it all starts. This is the end of the road, however you want to word it. If you want to have spiritual peace, we have to have peace with the one who made us. Peace with our Maker. If we're restless in our life, we haven't found complete peace with God. And before we can have any other peace in life, we have to start with this peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that in order to have peace in our lives, we have to find peace with God. And we find that by having faith in the one that made us. Faith in the one who put us here. How do we find this peace? First of all, we have to realize that we are a sinner that separates us from God. And then we have to confess that. And we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for us. And that His blood atones for our sins. And we have to confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't do this on purpose, but I did forget one important thing. I was supposed to announce this morning Conrad's decision to follow Christ last Sunday night and give him a time for testimony. I'll do that at this time. Conrad, if you want to share what you have. Thank you. Most important thing we can do to find this peace with God. So we have spiritual peace. Peace. And we also have emotional peace. The second kind of peace I like to talk about. Emotional peace is the peace of God. It's the peace that God gives us. We cannot have an emotional peace without first having spiritual peace. I think there is a state of having peace in your life. And it's one thing, if we think back to the time when we gave our life to Christ, that first step, when you struggled with that guilt, you struggled with that burden, you were worried about the eternal destinies and what you would face. And you knew God was calling in your life, and you fought against it, like God said to Paul, you kicked against the pricks. Isn't it hard for thee? And it was hard. And finally you give in and you say, I surrender my life to you. And you take those steps and give your life to the Lord Jesus and you start to live for Him. How much peace and rest that gives you. And how much you want to share that with other people. We cannot have that emotion of peace that you feel at that time. You cannot have that without first having that spiritual peace with God. When you say the word peace, most people immediately think of an emotional peace, the state of being everything, a sense of everything being in order and everything being taken care of. And that's what they look for. But it first takes an experience with Christ. We can go through a whole host of problems. We can have a barn burn full of equipment and still have peace. Maybe not right at the moment when you realize the barn's on fire. There's going to be some moments there when life's going to feel out of control. But going through something like that, we can have peace. How can that be? The world was shocked. The world was perplexed when they watched that nickel mine shooting and how those Amish could forgive the shooter and the family. How could they do that? So a close friend dies, a relative dies. That's probably happened to all of us. Is there grief? Yes. Is there sadness? Yes. Is there crying? Yes. Can you still have peace? Yes. If we have been surrendered to the will of God. If you lose your job, or if the children get sick, if you suddenly have to prepare for company, maybe you have to take over where somebody else came up short, left earlier, or got sick or something, can you still have peace? See, the world, we think that peace is the absence of conflict. If all conflict is away, then that must be where peace is. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the ability to cope with conflicts and frustrations of life. It's the ability to do that. And there's a lot of self-help out there to try to help you be able to do that. But I want to tell you this morning that that's just a copycat. The way to be able to cope with the conflicts and the frustrations of life, and I'm sure you have some of them right now, conflicts and frustrations, or maybe you're just past that, but those things come into our life constantly, it seems, is to find God. Even in the midst of difficulties, God's peace will be present. Philippians 4, verse 6. If you don't have these verses underlined in your Bible, you probably should do it now. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says here, be careful for nothing. And that means to not be anxious about the present things in life. Don't be anxious about it. Doesn't mean that we don't care, we don't know about it. But it means, and I'm going to read a quote I have here, that there is to be such confidence in God as to free the mind from anxiety and such a sense of dependence on Him as to keep it calm. We can have enough of confidence in God that we don't have to have anxiety. Enough of dependence on Him that we can be calm. It says, be careful for nothing. But in everything. What's the everything that we face? But in everything. Well, the needs of our family, the needs of our health, the difficult situations we get into, the embarrassments, all these things that we face. These are the everything that we have. Everything relating to our spiritual condition as well. Let me read you another quote. There is nothing which pertains to body, mind, estate, friends, conflicts, losses, trials, hopes, fears, in reference to which we may not go and spread it out before the Lord. There's nothing that you're not allowed to take to God. You can take it all to God and spread it out there before Him and say, this is the anxiety that I'm bearing today because of this situation. What can I do about it? What do you want to do about it? And there's lots of verses in the Bible that talk about this. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Is that verse true? If you cast your burden on the Lord, he will sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Feels like we're moved sometimes. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you really believe that God cares for you? And why are you worried about it? That's easier to say than to do. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Just let it happen. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Let the peace of God rule. Allow it to happen. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that word rule could have been translated umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God be the one that makes the decisions. What does an umpire do? He keeps peace. Makes sure the game is played right, orderly, smoothly. God wants to give you an internal umpire to keep you at peace even when everything seems chaotic. God can do that. You come into a situation, seems to be getting out of control, little disagreement going on, and God speaks into your life and says, no, this is the way it's supposed to be. You can kind of picture that when you think about a game going on. Someone's the umpire, someone makes a decision, and the rest of the players respect it. So when they call him out, everybody has to lay down what they say, and the umpire said, that one's an out, it's an out. You're walking through your Christian life, and it does seem like a game sometimes. Don't want to just refer it all to a game, but something comes into my life and God says, you need to stop worrying about that, or you need to do this about it, you need to do that about it. And so the peace of God is ruling, we're going to do it so we can keep that peace. And the peace of God speaks of saviorhood. Peace of God speaks of delivering us from our sins, and we're all eager to take up that aspect of the peace of God. We want that. We want to be saved from our eternal destruction. But the peace of God also speaks of lordship. And that's where we shrink back. We have to continue to allow Christ to have the rule in our life and to control our lives. And that's where we shrink back. Because what if he calls us to something that's harder than what we want to do? So how do we continue in peace? Romans chapter 14, for the second part of the message. How do we continue in peace? I think most of us here have found that peace in our life. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. What are we going to do? It says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. See, when the world thinks of peace, when our selfish nature thinks of peace, it thinks in order to have peace, we get to eat what we want. We get to go on the vacations we want to. Other people are supposed to serve our needs. And when we find that, we're going to have peace. And this verse is telling us that you can go home today and you can skip lunch and you can still have peace. You can skip that feast that you have for Sunday dinners. I don't know if you do it at your house. That's often what we get at our house. But you can skip that and you can have peace in your life, because kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Rather, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. So what must we do? First of all, if we want peace, we must obey the Word of God. Let me read you three verses from Psalm 119, 165, and 167. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. It says here that if you love God's word, love God's law, nothing shall offend you. If you love his testimonies. And it sounds pretty simple, but it is that simple. If we do just what the Bible says we should do, we will find peace. We will find harmony. So who dictates your day? Who decides what happens when? Is it our obedience to God's word? I find out that my smartphone wants me to obey it a lot. Calls the shots a good bit. Tells me that something came I need to look at. Someone's wants my attention. Dictates my day. I wondered if it has been a real challenge to work with some of these things in our lives. It wants our obedience. I was trying to think back to how it was before any of this came along, whether that made us more holy or not. I know it took away some temptations. I know it took away some distractions. I still struggle with the evil nature. In my teenage years, we didn't know what smartphones were. I didn't even hardly know what a cell phone was. But it wants our obedience. Let's be careful that we obey God's word, and it can be something else. It can be your boss, your job, can be a lot of different things that are calling for your attention and cause us to forget throughout the day that, first of all, we need to obey God. And that gives us peace. Secondly, if we want peace, we must focus on the presence of God, God's presence. We must realize that God is always with us and learn to sense his presence. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for within the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." When we come into those moments when there's a death or when there's an ordination, when some of these things happen, and we realize that no matter what it is, God is here and God is with us. God knows what is going on. In fact, he knows every hair on our head, and he sees one of them fall. He's that much focused on us. For God is really focused on each one of us, and we have the choice to either focus on our problem or focus on God. Let's focus on his presence. Another quote that I have here: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. You'll be distressed. You probably heard this one. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. We look without, it's distressing. We look within, it's depressing. And we look at Christ, and we find rest. So it's what we concentrate on that determines our level of personal peace. Number three, if we want God's peace, we must trust in God's purpose. It's more than just his presence. It's also his purpose. Because as we looked at this morning, God waited till it got as bad as it could possibly get. I mean, they were killing infants. What can be worse than that? When a society is willing to kill infants, that's where we're at today in America. But that's where they were at in Egypt's day. And God said, I'll give you deliverer. And we think, right now. No, 80 years later, deliverer. And that's how it is with our problems. We go and we lay it out before God and we say, Lord, here's my problem. Now what's your answer? He doesn't say anything. He just doesn't say anything. I want to move on in the next step in my life. I'm ready to move on. I've had enough of my teenage years. I'm ready for a purpose. Or maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with a health problem. I've had enough of this. Can't we go back to how it was before I had this? How do we get beyond this? And God doesn't give immediate answers. We have to trust that he has a purpose in it. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. they were heading out into the wilderness. Why would Moses go out into the wilderness for those years? Why would the children of Israel go out in those wilderness for all those years? Well, looking back on the story, it makes sense. We said, I heard someone say this morning that Moses, Brother Kirvin, I think it was, said he had a lot to learn. So God sent him out into the wilderness. But at the time, if you think about how Moses felt, running, because he had killed the Egyptian and his life was on the line. God, I gave up Egypt for your sake. Why am I coming into this? God moves slowly, but God has a purpose. We need to learn to trust his purpose. Sometimes we need to just stop trying to figure out life for myself. Stop trying to figure it out and let God figure it out for us. And we waste a lot of time and energy and mental power trying to figure out life as it relates to us and how we can better it, how we can change it, when we should be focusing that on other people. God is urging us to trust him. Psalms 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Do you believe that God only wants you to dwell in safety? When you think about time, your entire life from the beginning to the end on earth and eternity future, God is taking us right into relationship with him. That's what he's trying to do. And he's doing it perfectly according to his plan. That should make us be able to sleep in peace. Number 4, if we want God's peace, we need to ask for it. Going back to Philippians 4, verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing. But then he said, by everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to pray and supplication. It talks about somewhere else, groanings. Sometimes we don't even know how to put it into words. We just get on our knees and we're quiet because we don't know what to say. But notice the order of those verses. First came prayer, then came peace. We want to think that when we find peace in our life, then we'll be thankful and we'll pray. It doesn't work that way. It can work that way. But it starts in these verses. He says, you pray. You let your requests known. You make your supplications. And then God is going to give you peace. He's going to keep your hearts in mind. It's cause and effect here. Prayer is the cause. Peace is the effect. If you're not praying, you're probably worrying. And if you're worrying, you're probably not praying. Worry is such a useless emotion. Well, maybe that's men can easily identify with that. Maybe your wives or sisters have a little harder time identifying that. It doesn't get us anywhere. It's the opposite of peace. It can't coexist with peace. So as long as there's worry there, there'll be no peace. So why do we worry? And the fifth point I have here is, if we want God's peace, we must follow the cross. Turn to Romans chapter 8. There's a lot of verses here, but I'm just going to read a few of them. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. And this is talking about us finding Christ. But right in the middle of it, he says this. Verse 5, Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can either follow the old life and find death, or you can follow the new life and find peace. And the old life was worry. The new life is trust. And I said it before, but you'd think if you could eat whatever you want to eat today, drive whatever car you want to drive, you could be with whoever you wanted to be with, you could dress in whatever you wanted to wear, and you'd go anywhere you wanted to and it wouldn't cost you a thing, you'd have to be the happiest person alive. But why do so many celebrities commit suicide? Well, we read the verse earlier in Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what do we need to find peace in our lives today? Have we not asked God to come into our hearts yet? Well, then let's do that. Maybe we backslid. Then let's take this step again. Maybe there's a situation that we need to lay in His hands. Let's do it. Let's ask Jesus to be in charge of our life. Remember, peace is not a trouble-free life. That's not what we're saying we're going to have, trouble-free life. Peace is a sense of calm in the midst of life storms. So if you want to have peace in your life today, think about what's robbing you of your peace. Is it guilt? Do you need forgiveness for something? Do you need to forgive somebody else for something? Is it worry? What is it? Is it a financial problem? Is it a physical problem? Is it a difficult person? All these things, the next step is to go and talk to Christ about it and lay it before Him. The God of peace wants to give you peace, and He is ready now to give you peace. It's up to us to take the next step. Let's kneel for prayer. Modicus, would you lead us in prayer?